It's always intrigued me. What is it that great persuaders have that average persuaders don't? Because great persuaders are making 10 times more money than average persuaders. And of course, average persuaders are making 10 times more money than poor persuaders. And so what is it that they have? And it's interesting when you ask a great persuader what they do, they don't necessarily know. Sometimes it's instinct. And many times it's hard for great persuaders to actually teach persuasion because it's hard for them to quantify or put down on paper what they actually do. So that's always intrigued me, and that's one of the things I'm doing research for the new book's actually called Persuasion IQ. What is it that great persuaders have that average persuaders don't? And try to quantify that and put together and do surveys and monitor things. And I want to share some of that information to you, some cutting edge information that'll help you out. I want to talk about 10 different categories and kind of analyze yourself. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? I mean, what are you really looking at? Now, again, be careful of what we call the woebegone effect. You should know that by now. That's where you tend to rate yourself higher or better than in an area than you actually are. You know, most people rate themselves higher in people skills than their prospects do. That's just human nature. And so, you know, what are those essential traits and habits and skills that power persuaders enjoy? What are they doing? It's such a critical skill, that ability to persuade and influence, and you're just not learning it. Learning it on the street doesn't count. Learning it from osmosis doesn't count. But good news is, on the persuasion front, it was Harvard that finally added a sales persuasion class to their MBA curriculum. Because we're also noting that most CEOs have a sales and marketing background. It's critical. If you can't sell yourself, your ideas, I just say that persuasion is part of everyday life. Whether you're a parent, teacher, leader, or manager, you need to persuade whether you're on commission or not. And people need to realize that. And that's one message I want to share with everyone. It's critical. Because if people are saying no or not returning your call, or your children don't understand, or your relationship, negotiation, not getting your way, all under the world of persuasion. And the great news is it can be learned. That's what we're finding. We can take an average person, I don't mean this in a negative way, someone that just hasn't had those skills and teach the skills and they can become a great persuader. And that's what we're doing. It's amazing to see all the great success stories out there. Because you know everything you want in life is on the other side of persuasion. That's the critical thing. That's the most important thing to understand as we go through this process. So I want to talk about those 10 areas. Before I do, I want to spend a little time talking about, what I call old school persuasion or blunders, because persuasion has changed so much in the last 20 years. Things are so different now. Remember 20 years ago, I trust you, give me a reason not to. Now it's, I don't trust you, give me a reason to trust you. Understand that. And many things they taught you 10, 25 years ago, even things people are teaching today, don't work. This is what I call blunders or obstacles. And I want to help people understand as we go through this process is that everyone's on commission. I think everyone should be on commission. Whether you're on salary or not, your abilities, your skills in direct correlation to the money that you earn. And we need to get past what we call a persuasion pitfall, because when I talk to your prospects, and that's what I do at the Persuasion Institute, prospects lie to you, I talk to them to find out what really happened. Was it trust? Was it the offer? Did you push too hard? And that's what I call the persuasion pitfall. That's when, let's say, for example, you go to a furniture store, they push a little too hard, you get a bad feeling inside, and you leave, and you lie. You say something like, I'm just looking, I need to talk to my spouse, I'll come back later. And you'll never go back to that store. This is the pitfall. You'll never go back to that store. You'll never recommend that store. And the pitfall is their management didn't know why. And that's the interesting thing. You know, what's really bothering people? What are those, what I call bricks of resistance? When you say something and do something, people automatically resist you. And the key to great persuasion we're finding is you need to help people persuade themselves. Because the moment they sense that you're trying to persuade them or convince them to do something, this brick wall of resistance comes up and they will resist you even though they need and want your product. Now, understand one of the major complaints is overselling, over-persuading, pushing too hard, abusive techniques, these closing techniques that just don't work anymore. They are tired of those. They don't work. So when you talk about these old school persuasion triggers, you come to those, what I call the closing techniques. Everyone's all learn closing techniques. And you already know how I feel about closing. Closing techniques is like trying to get a kiss after a bad date. It just doesn't work. There's so many other things that are important before opening them up, building trust. And once they sense those old style closing techniques, that brick wall gets bigger and bigger. Another one is that people are like, well, I'm a people person. I can converse with anyone. Well, that may be true, but we know that introverts are out-persuading extroverts because extroverts are coming across as a proverbial salesperson, and that builds that brick wall. Where an introvert comes across more as a consultant. They listen. They ask questions. Another one of the big complaints is what I call vomiting. You're just vomiting all these features and benefits on somebody, and they run away. Of course you'd run away. They're vomiting on you. What I mean by that is that you're over-persuading. You're saying too much. There's one or two reasons they want your product or your service. Nothing else matters. When you buy a photocopy machine, you don't need to know everything about it. When you buy software, you don't need to know everything about it. When you buy a car, you don't need to know everything about it. There's one or two things that are important to you. Buy it and fill in the blanks later. They also can sense when you're selling out of a desperation mindset. They feel like a shark with blood in the water. There's that desperation. You have to do that. They notice that. That's a big complaint. We also notice then that you're not prepared, or prejudging is part of that process too. So understand, as we talk about these 10 areas, that it's important that you take good notes and you listen and you analyze yourself with an open mind. You can't be perfect in all these areas. One of these areas is your greatest strength, and one of these areas is your greatest weakness. Do it and understand, take notes. So I want you to identify what is your greatest strength and what is your greatest weakness according to you. The interesting thing is that your prospect has a different ranking than you actually have. So number one, top of the list, hope you're sitting down and understand how this works, is the mental aspect of the game, the mental programming. And that's why I say the universe will not reward you physically until you believe it mentally. The mental skills are critical, the most important. In fact, I've been, like many of you, going to, you know, a seminar or teleconference, and you hear these successful millionaires talk about vision, goal setting, mindset, overcoming procrastination. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, give me the tools. And then one day I realized, man, if every book and every millionaire I've ever talked to talks about these things, they must be important. The light went on, and wow, did it change my life forever. These are the tools. These are the most important tools. Why do you think it's taken so long to become financially independent? Is it because the mental aspect of the game? Because you can have all the tools you want. You can have all the competence you want within your industry, all the experience and motivation you want. But if your mindset is off, none of that matters. And so you need to develop a foundation. And just real quick, what a foundation is a subset of your belief. You have belief systems, and many of you have conflicting beliefs. If you had a torpedo and you're shooting it towards a target and had two guidance systems, it would never hit the target. You have two beliefs, which is your guidance systems, that conflict with each other. That's why you're not hitting the target. It's also your thoughts. Remember that your thoughts control your emotions and your emotions control your actions. And it's also your vision of the future, how you see yourself, which is the opposite of worry. But we see that great persuaders have a great vision of their future and of themselves. They can control their thoughts and they believe in themselves. They believe that they can be financially independent. Great persuaders also confront their fears. You're only born with two fears in life. All these other fun little fears you've picked up along the way, you can get rid of. And we also notice that great persuaders have great purpose and a passion. They love what they're doing. They're changing lives. They have great self-esteem. Self-esteem is how much you like yourself. And you can't like yourself if you're not doing the things you know you're capable of doing. And self-esteem is at an all-time low. And that's important to understand, because when you understand your own self-esteem, if you know from Maximum Influence, one of the laws of persuasion is the law of esteem. And the more you can help someone feel better about themselves, the more persuasive you become. Great persuaders have good, healthy habits. They're accountable. What I mean by that, they're not blaming others for other things that they're doing. What I mean by that is that, you know, you're the master of your destiny. You're not blaming other people. You're taking full control of who you are and what you're doing. You understand the comfort zone and you don't get into rationalization. You don't blame or get stuck in that blame game. Things like, well, if I had better leads, or the economy isn't doing very well, the industry is slow, I got the worst territory, this is a hard business, my boss doesn't support me, the cost of living is too high, my spouse doesn't understand, yeah, yada, yada, yada. No, take time right now, and they take full accountability for their sales, for what they do. That's important. And they understand that failure is almost important to have because you learn from that. It's part of your success is understanding failure. And great persuaders tend to be happier than most. So that's the first one that we talked about, of course, is mental aspect of the game. That's number one that we notice. That is a foundation. Now, number two, as far as the second master skill of IQ is the ability to overcome objections and to understand the mindset of consumers. Understand that they're going to lie to you. To understand that most of the time when they say it's too expensive, I can't afford it, those are their knee-jerk reactions and they aren't even true. I've told many of this, that 66% of the time when they say, oh, it's too expensive, they're lying to you. They just know it's a good way to get rid of you. And here's the key. This is what we're finding out. This is amazing stuff. That great persuaders solve objections before they even happen. Because when a prospect comes up with an objection, for example, it's like their car hitting a brick wall. There's damage. It kind of takes them off. They're just not concentrating anymore. They've just taken them off course. You want to solve most of the objections before they even happen. That's what great persuaders do. And understand, we are very emotional creatures. And we can't understand the difference between logic and emotion. And that's one of my favorite studies, what they did at the university level, where they took the students and they said, okay, this half, you write an emotional appeal about this controversial topic. This half, you write a logical appeal. They delivered the speeches, they videotaped them, and they had other students watch them. And they asked the students, is this logical or emotional? And they couldn't tell. All they could find out was if they agreed it was logical, if they disagreed it was emotional. And the thing is, you need to have a balance of both. Testimony, examples, analogy, story, statistics, evidence, logic, emotion, or motivation all come under this quadrant. It's very important to understand why we do what we do. What we do and what we say we do and why we do it are completely different things. And that's what great persuaders do. They understand objections to solve them before they happen. They understand that when they say it's too expensive and understanding how to deal with pricing. And understand, too, if you hear it's too expensive all the time, it's because you've blown it. You haven't built the value for your product or service. You should never hear that because it's either a knee-jerk reaction or you've blown it somewhere in your presentation. You do never want to hear that if you do it the right way, and great persuaders do that. When great persuaders come to the investment, it's, wow, what a great deal. And that's the goal that you want. Great persuaders also ask 3 times more questions than average persuaders. So if an average persuader asks 10, a great persuader is asking 30. And all the questions that you ask, they're going to tell you exactly what you need to know to help persuade them. Every presentation should be a little different. And that is your goal when you persuade them, is to ask a question and to understand when you talk about consumer mindset is that the mood of your prospect matters too. To understanding feelings and emotions, mood. What does it mean when they're frustrated? What does it mean when they're angry? What does it mean when they're resentful? What does it mean when they're jealous? Those are things that great persuaders understand, and they can get them out of that. Because when someone's angry or upset or in a bad mood, they're not very persuadable. And there's ways around that. So that's the second one, is understanding the objections and consumer mindset. But an interesting thing is when you ask prospects, well, what do they like about persuaders? In fact, let me give you the list. 1, they keep their promises. 2, they're dependable. 3, they're well-trained. 4, they're sincere. 5, they're a good friend. 6, they don't argue with you. 7, they provide solutions. 8, they take 100% responsibility. There's that blame factor again. 9, they're enthusiastic. And 10, they're honest. That's what the prospect's looking for. That's what they said. So that's the first one, okay? Now, the second one is rapport or connecting with people. The reality is, if people don't like you, they're not going to do business with you, they're not going to trust you. And a lot of persuaders think that people like them, but we talked to the prospect, they didn't like them. You know that annoying persuader that has the bad jokes and is very loud and outgoing and thinks everyone likes them? Well, the truth is that could be you, okay? Just want to tell you that. That could be you. How do they really perceive you? So if you really want to connect and build rapport, because, I mean, what do you have, 30 seconds? You know, your first impression is like quick, dry cement. It starts to dry very fast. From that 30 seconds to about 4 minutes, you have to develop instant, long-lasting rapport during that time. But so there's a lot of research out there. If you want to review on that, the law of connectivity is great and maximum influence. But understand, people are judging you. They want to put you into a category. You've met people where you instantly liked them. You've met people where you instantly didn't like them. And so part of that is rapport, and understanding rapport. What's involved with rapport and connecting with people? Well, if you want to connect with somebody, listening skills. You're saying, yeah, I can listen. Well, studies show that you can't. And then you say, well, that doesn't apply to me. No, it is you, because you've never taught to listen. I'm talking about listening not only with your ears, but your heart and your eyes. That's what great persuaders do. I mean, you look at communication, all the challenges we have, it usually comes back to listening because people think they can do it. When you listen, you will find out everything you need to know to persuade them. So listening is critical. Now, understanding your nonverbal. What I mean by that is your body language. Every action that you have will either attract or distract from your message. So body language is critical. Another aspect too is understanding personalities, that people are different. What is their own personal combination? How could you approach them? There's a lot of different personalities out there, and some you clash with. You have to understand that. So you have to monitor personality directions and fine-tune your persuasion radar. Are they emotional, logical, introverted, extroverted? Are they motivated by inspiration, desperation, amiable? Are they hostile, indifferent, uninformed, supportive? All these things make a huge difference. Part of this too, which is amazing, I started doing research, is humor. Humor connects you with people. People want to laugh. They want to smile. They want to feel good about themselves. It makes a big difference in their success. It makes a big difference in your ability to persuade them. Mirror and matching. You've studied that with NLP. That's the science of synchronization. You also have understanding that we all have different type of, how do you put the senses? Some of us are visual. Some of us are auditory. Some of us are kinesthetic. That would cause you to adjust your presentation. If you do the opposite, if you do a different one, you won't connect with them. Then there's people skills. I don't even need to talk about that. You know that's important. You're rating yourself higher than you actually are, but that is power. Your goodwill, being positive and optimistic, using their name, smiling, showing respect. Another subset too is your attraction, how you look, your appearance, hairstyle, clothes, weight, shoes, hands, jewelry, fingernails, how you smell. Is your cologne or perfume too strong? In fact, when you look at people that have gone to conventions, when they go to the different booths, one of the big complaints that caused people to leave was bad breath. Such a simple thing to fix. And again, most people don't even know that that was the challenge. And finding things in common, finding things that are familiar or similar to them goes a long way too. And another aspect is proximics, which is the science of space. You know, how close can you get to somebody is a big aspect of rapport. So that's number two. Number three is trust. Pretty simple. Trust. Do they trust you? No, they don't trust you. Why don't they trust you? Well, that's what society has told them that they shouldn't. Trust is an all-time low. It's dropped 6 points in the last 5 years. On average, 80% of the people you talk to don't trust you. Even though you're a good person, you deserve trust, they don't. It has to be earned. And we monitor different professions. Some professions, for example, like nurse or pharmacist or firefighter are very high. Things like network marketing, lawyer, telemarketing, chiropractor, very low. That's just the reality of it. Do people trust you? And you have to understand as you go through this process that your trust is magnified, and it's more important if you meet someone for the first time or you come from a low trust industry or they've never heard of your product or you have a very high-end product or you've made the first contact, very, very important. So understand trust is critical. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this. You know it's important. Things like your character comes into play. Things like your competence. You might have great character, but if you're not very competent or your perception of not being very competent, they will not do business with you. Are you confident about what you're doing? You know, things that kill confidence are like fear, negative thoughts, doubt, worry, your attitude, indecision, mood. All those things will kill your confidence level. And on the flip side, you might have too much confidence. And that's what's so interesting as we interview people as a persuader. Yeah, I was confident. And the prospect says, no, you were cocky, because it's a very fine line. Then credibility, critical. And of course, congruence. Are you congruent? Now, something that can really increase your trust level, are a couple of things that we notice. Admitting a weakness is an interesting thing we found out. Social validation, because we know once somebody recommends you, for example, restaurants and all these other things, people want to recommend you to other people. And once someone says, go to them, they're great, that's all they need to hear. So that is all under trust. That was number three. Now, number four is what we call power, expertise. Once you become the expert, you have power. Power can be a great thing, and you want your lawyer, your mechanic, you want to be able to have trust in their expertise, because once they tell you what to do, you just do it because of that. Or a doctor wearing a white coat. They're wearing a white coat, they got a degree, they're going to tell me what to do. That is great in the world of persuasion. You are the expert. They should accept what you have to say. That is what we call power. And again, power, just like persuasion, can be used for great things or evil things, if you want to put it that way. Because people respond to power. They just do. For example, authority. People respond to authority. Could be your position. It could be even a uniform or your title. CEO, board of directors, Esquire, manager, all build authority and respect. You have public opinion. External characteristics of being tall or deeper voice. Not saying that it's fair. I'm just telling you. Most CEOs are over 6 feet. That's just reality. Another form of power is respect. You know, your honor, your admiration, your reputation. Those are important things that people take a look at. Or how about knowledge power? Information, resources, your expertise. That's a form of power. And that's what you're looking for. Once they perceive you're the expert, the walls of resistance go down and they will listen to you. Just like if you went to a lawyer again or a doctor and you didn't understand it, you say, oh, well, tell me what to do. That is what you're looking for. That's what great persuaders have. So power is important. Again, we're just simplifying how to understand the IQ, but power, critical. All right, I think we're on number 5, and this is what we call influence. Now, if you remember from Persuasion 101 or other classes or CDs you've listened for me, influence is a higher form of persuasion. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, influence is a higher form of persuasion. Now, persuasion is what you do when you say influence is who you are. Pretty simple. Influence is who you are. Your charisma, your passion, your optimism, your attitude, your empathy, your vision, and your ability to build someone's self-esteem. That's all under influence. And great persuaders possess that. That's what they're able to do. Because once you have influence with someone, you don't need facts or figure statistics. They just say, great, tell me what I need to do, and you do it. It takes a while to build this, but great persuaders have this, that influence. Again, do you have charisma? Are you passionate about your product? Because passion, more than anything else, will recruit the hearts and minds of the people you talk to. Optimism. Now, isn't that an interesting one? Optimism is critical to success. That simple. And it's something that can be learned. Attitude, empathy. Empathy is so critical. Once they sense that you are empathetic, you really understand, you've put yourself in their shoes, you become a great persuader and you're able to influence others. So that is number 5, influence. All right, number 6 is what we call motivation. How to motivate yourself and motivate other people. Because there's 2 things here. If you can't motivate yourself, you'll never be a great persuader. But you also have to motivate the people that you're talking to, which is your call to action. Understand motivation is critical for you and the people you talk to, and that's what great persuaders have. They can motivate themselves, number 1, and number 2, they get other people to take action. There's nothing worse than giving a presentation and say, oh, that was nice, great presentation. If they don't do anything, you've blown it. There's no good there. You didn't persuade them. You just gave a great presentation. You didn't motivate them to do anything. And I've been studying motivation for a long time because I've done boot camps on success psychology and the millionaire mind and how it works and how people think. What do successful people do? And you talk about motivation, and after these seminars, people come up and say, wow, I'm going to change. I'm going to do it. And we exchange emails and you follow up later. And a lot of people didn't do what they really wanted to do. I mean, you could light a match with their energy. They were so excited. It's like, wow, what do we need to do here? And so I spent a lot of time studying motivation, what's working, what's not working. And it makes a huge difference because there's not just one type of motivation. There's many different types of motivation. And motivation comes from the root word of motive. This comes back to your self-discipline, understanding how that works. That comes back to your commitment to excellence. It also talks about, when you look at motivation, how do you motivate the unmotivated? How do you generate that urgency to do what you want them to do? And understand there's 2 motivators in life. There's inspiration, there's desperation. And you motivate someone that's an inspiration mindset very different than desperation. And inspiration or desperation can be either internal or external, coming from within or from outside sources, like peer pressure or a spouse or children versus inside. And that's the big thing you have to understand, that people are motivated in different ways. And if you try to motivate someone in inspiration with desperation, it'll backfire on you every time. So motivation is critical. and you need to implement it, and great motivators have that. They have the motivation formula. Well, let me give it to you. This is really interesting. Let me give you a formula for those who want to quantify it. You have want, do they really want it, times reward, it's in parentheses. So how much they want it versus the reward they're going to get plus the tools. Now, do they have the tools to do that? They might want to win an Olympic gold medal. The reward is great, but if they're 50 years old and past their prime, they might not have the tools to do that. And then you put that all over difficulty. How difficult is it? Minus the time frame. Can they do it in the time frame that you're asking? That is under motivation. That equals the degree of motivation. Part of that, too, is understanding life alignment. What I mean by that is that we have six areas of our life. And each area, we can't say, well, that's just one aspect of our life. What I'm saying is, for example, one is your health, your physical. If you don't feel well, it's going to affect every aspect of your life. Great persuaders feel aligned. Because I know many times in your life, you feel like, oh, something's out of whack. Something's not quite right. It's because you're neglecting one of these areas. So that is all under motivation. Great persuaders, again, can not only motivate themselves, they could motivate other people. All right, next one is communication and presentation skills. That is so important. How are you coming across? In fact, Daniel Webster said, if all my talents and powers were to be taken from me from some inscrutable providence, and I had my choice of keeping but one, I would unhesitantly ask to be allowed to keep the power of speaking. For through it, I would quickly recover all the rest. Communication, presentation skills. How do you do in front of a group, over the phone, one-on-one? Wow. You probably didn't even learn these skills in school. Great persuaders can communicate. They can present. Very important that you understand that. Because there's a lot of barriers to communication, and you have to understand about your presentation skills. Because your prospects, you know what they say about you? Monotone, lack of eye contact, they keep washing their hands together, their hands in their pocket, vocal fillers like you know, unemotional, they rush the presentation, they're pacing back and forth, they keep touching their face. That's what they keep saying about you, and you think you're doing okay. Wow, that's not what your prospect is saying. When you have great communication and presentation skills, you have to understand that humor, telling stories, posing questions, quotes, there's a formula on how you do these things. We've monitored, there's certain formulas, certain things you need to have in your presentations, testimonies, examples, stories, statistics, there's formulas as far as the percent. You know, your opening should only be about 10%. Your call to action should only be 5%. There's a formula involved. You know, how do you deal with a hostile person or an indifferent person? What can you do to support your message? Those are all part of this when you go through this. It's also about your verbal packaging, the words you use, painting the pictures, because when you ask a prospect about a great persuader, they say it's like, when you listen to them, it's like listening to a movie. You can see it, taste it, touch it, feel it. That is what they're looking for. So, presentation, communication skills, the words you use, using simple emotion-based words makes a big difference. Using stories, becoming a great storyteller, all part of this. Using the power of expectations, embedded commands, pacing and leading. And this is also phone skills. Are they returning your calls? Wow, that's a big aspect. Are they coming to you? Are they calling you back? So when you talk about telephone, that's also understand that you need to learn how to leave great message. You need to learn how to talk on the phone. That's also about your presentation skills. All right, let's see. We have two more. The next to last one is what I call pre-preparation. The secret is in the groundwork. Being prepared instead of winging it. I know sometimes you have to wing it, but if you really want to be a great persuader, you are prepared. You are ready for any questions that could come up. You know exactly how your product or service is going to fit their needs. You are dedicated. You know your numbers. Part of that is knowing that if you make 100 calls, 15 will be interested and 3 will buy. That is your preparation. It's also understanding that most people, almost half of persuaders, give up after the first contact. And after 90% give up after the fourth contact, and most business is done after the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth contact. Important to understand. Also, know that this is understanding you, well, I'll get with this, your time management, managing your time, overcoming your procrastination. And procrastination is a huge challenge. And procrastination, the reality is, the excuse not to perform. You have to get past that. Most people procrastinate because they're feeling overwhelmed, or they're apathetic, or they just don't have the knowledge to do what you're asking them to do. So time management's critical. Being prepared before an event. You know, what do you want to accomplish? What is your message? What laws of persuasion are you going to use? What is their initial mindset? You know, what's in it for them? How are they going to benefit? All these things are critical to your success, and this is what great persuaders do. It takes a little bit more effort, but makes a huge difference in the dividends in your increased income. Learning to structure and design your message is part of this area too. Being brief, being simple. Repetition is critical for people to understand. Inoculation, which is pre-solving objections before they happen. And always understand in the preparation mode that we persuade first, we negotiate second. Persuasion is a higher form. It's over negotiation. What I mean by that is persuasion. You bring people to your point of view. Negotiation, you meet somewhere in the middle. So you always want to persuade first, negotiate second. Last on the list is your personal development and self-mastery program. If I administer persuasion IQs, I can tell there's a direct correlation between your personal development and your income. That's just how it is. You walk into a great persuader's office, I can tell you they have a library. They're listening to CDs in your car. This is so important. And they usually take great persuaders about 5 to 10% of their income and reinvest it in themselves. If not, you will stagnate. Personal development is so important. Not only does it motivate you, not only do you feel better about yourself, but it teaches you things that you need to know. Because the one thing that's cost you millions of dollars in your life right now, I already know what it is. You want to know what it is? Pretty simple. The thing that's cost you millions of dollars is the phrase, oh, I'll figure it out on my own. Why? That's not how successful people think. Every problem, challenge, or situation you have in your life, someone else has figured it out. They can mentor you. They can coach you. You can get a book. You can get a CD program. You can go to a seminar and learn the exact same thing in a week instead of taking 2, 3, 4 years to figure it out on your own. That is a wrong thing to do. Personal development and self-mastery is critical. Turn the radio off on your car. Listen to CDs. Turn the TV off. It's not going to make you any money. Get the books. Go to the seminars. Find out about coaching programs. Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players that ever lived, did he need a coach? Everyone says yes. Because what does a coach do? I mean, really, what a coach does is they can see things that you can't see. They can see your weaknesses from your strengths. They can tell you what you're doing, what you need to work on. That's what a coach or a mentor does. And it's amazing, as I talk to people, there's the top producer, and I ask the top producer how many people have invited them to lunch to pick their brain, and it's very, very rare. And they're more than willing to do that. And people don't do it out of resentment because, well, maybe they have the best territory or they make up these things in their minds. Talk to the best people. They're more than happy to share this information with you. And it depends on your time frame, personal value. If you want to increase your income the fastest, find a mentor, find a coach in whatever area of your life is the weakest. That is critical. So important. Training and coaches. And coaching is a huge thing that's happening right now. And that's something that you want to take a look at for your success. Because what a great coach does is they work with you. They motivate you. They give you personal attention. And what we're finding is those who have coaches, it increases their productivity, they improve themselves, it helps with customer and employee retention, improves communication. Wow, it does so much. That's one of the things that I didn't even think was going to be on the radar screen when I started studying what is it that makes great persuaders great. And that is one thing that kept hitting the radar screen. Another thing, a part of personal development, is the ability to change and transform and improve themselves. If they didn't know a skill, they would learn it. They would understand change. Because most people resist change, and people don't resist change when they know what it's going to take them. Change is critical to your success. And what great persuaders do, if they need to change something, they change it. They make it happen. And understanding change is also critical if you want to change your prospect. Those are the areas that are critical to your success. Just the 10 areas that make the biggest difference in your life. It's that simple. Understand this is based on thousands of hours of research, years of study, interviews, being a fly on the wall. These are the ones. And so you have to ask yourself, well, which one's my greatest weakness? Which one's my greatest strength? If you don't know, go to persuasioniq.com and we'll rank you nationally with other people. it's new and it's improved. If you've taken it in the past, we've changed it. We're gathering more information to figure out what's making great persuaders great. What areas do you need to work on? It makes a huge difference in your success and what you're able to do. Because the reality is, as you look at this process, you have to give yourself what I call permission to win. Do you really want to be successful? Do you really want control of your life? Because when you learn persuasion, motivation, and influence, it puts you in the driver's seat. Again, most persuaders use 2 to 3 persuasive techniques over and over and over again, top producers around, 7 to 8, and we've identified over 120. And as Maslow says, if the only tool in your toolbox is a hammer, you treat everyone like a nail. So if you really want to master these skills, some things you need to think about is that, first of all, with persuasion, it will get you financial independence, it'll give you job security, it'll help you with your business, you can set your own schedule, and people feel more confident and optimistic about life because they have the tools. Because if you ever had a prospect that needed your product, wanted your product, and liked it, and they could afford it, but they didn't do business with you, well, these are the things you need to master. So work on yourself. Very important that you do that. And as I talk about these principles, don't judge. These are based on scientific fact. Don't judge or criticize. Use them. And here's what I want to point out. Any persuasion tool you use for the first time, just like it was a regular tool or anything else, or even golfing, for example. The first time you swing a golf club, doesn't matter how many seminars or classes or coaching that you had, it's not going to be the perfect shot. But after you implement it and use it in practice, it becomes a reality. So what I'm saying is, the first time you use a persuasive principle, it might not work. There's some things you need to adjust. Fine-tune it. Practice. Be determined. Makes a huge difference in your success. And what I want you to do is understand you need to tap into your value, find your worth, and exceed your potential. Give yourself permission to win. These skills will change your life forever. That's why I study these things. I've been in persuasion my whole life. And a lot of the things they were teaching me were offensive. I didn't want to use. And I knew after going after a degree and graduate degree that I didn't have the skills that I needed to be successful, that I had to master these skills. And I wanted a checklist. That's why I do this. Is I wanted to know what I need to learn to be successful. Now you have those 10 areas. Just to review, we talked about mental programming. We talked about understanding the consumer mindset and objections. We talked about rapport, trust, power, influence, motivation, communication and presentation skills, being prepared, and your personal development program. Wow, you master those, you are unstoppable. And that's what we want for you with the Persuasion Institute. Understand exactly how these things work. Put it together and understand that persuasion is the key to your success. Learning persuasion, motivation, negotiation, influence all come under that. And also is self-persuasion. If you can't persuade yourself, you can't persuade other people. So think about these things. I wanted to share them with you so you could really understand the critical nature of your persuasion IQ, the critical nature of what great persuaders are doing. There's your list. I know you've met someone before, you've gone to an event, and you're thinking, not going to buy, not going to buy, not going to buy, and you left buying everything? That's because they possess many of these skills. And that's what you need to learn. As a parent, teacher, leader, manager, whatever it is, we all persuade for a living. And that's critical for you to understand. So go out there and learn these skills, master these skills. If you need a little help or a little information, give us a call. We'd love to help you out. We have persuasion advisors on staff that'll help you out. 801-434-4022. Take or retake your Persuasion IQ online at persuasioniq.com. Whatever we can do to help, that's what we're here for. So with that, learn these skills, master these skills, become more confident in yourself, increase your income. And when you do that, and as you do that, what I want you to do is go out and make the world a better place.